Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will do no good, nor will he do them. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with him. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had received 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered your seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gathered where I scattered your seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Please be seated for the children's lesson.
Hello, hello, everyone. Good to see you on a glorious day, as always. We come and celebrate God's victory over death for us. So we can serve Pastor Reed over here. Mr. Farmer Reed, about the judgment on Judah, kind of dreary times. We heard one of Paul's letters. We heard Pastor's reading of the parable of the talents. And we all know what talents are. We know how the story goes. Most of you have heard it a number of times. But I heard another story about a businessman, and he had everything he needed. And he had 3 toolboxes, actually. I only brought one of them with me today. But he gave his toolbox to one of his workers and gave it to him and said, go see what you can do. You know, make some use." Well, the worker went out, and not only was there a toolbox, he had a truck, he had equipment. This guy went out and he built an apartment complex. He put up some houses, he put all this stuff up with the tools that the businessman had given him, and the businessman came back and wanted to see, "Well, what'd you do with the tools I gave you?" It was a lot of stuff. Showed him what he did. And,
We continue with the sermon in the day surely drawing near on page 11.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? Martin Luther explains in the Small Catechism, you should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Fear, love, and trust God above all things. The explanation of the other nine commandments all begin, we should fear and love God so that we keep the other commandments. Fear, love, and trust. The parable of the talents is kind of a confusing story. What is Jesus trying to teach us here? A talent is an amount of money, a large amount of money. A talent is worth about 20 years' wages. So one talent, even, is a great sum of money, somewhere around $1 million, say, in today's money. The word talent here refers to money. But in English, talent means ability, which that can be confusing. And in this parable, there are three servants, but there are only two types of servants. There are two good and faithful servants, and there is one wicked and slothful servant. And what's the difference? The master gives each servant a huge sum of money. Some more, some less, but still a lot of money to each servant. So why are two good and faithful and one wicked and slothful? The good and faithful servants fear, love, and trust their master. The wicked and slothful servant fears and despises his master. So what does it mean to fear God? What kind of fear should we have of God? Philip Melanchthon, a close associate to Martin Luther during the Reformation, made the distinction between servile fear and filial fear. Servile fear would be the kind of fear that a slave has for his master. Filial fear is the kind of fear a child has for his father. Those who reject Jesus are unforgiven. They should be in servile fear of God. They should be in terror of God's righteousness and holiness. If you reject God's forgiveness, you should be in terror of God's wrath being poured out on you. As a baptized child of God, though, you do not need to be in terror of God. Jesus has taken God's wrath upon himself, and he's given you his perfection and his holiness. As a baptized believer in Jesus, you are a beloved child of God. You should still fear God, but in the way a child fears a good father, a fear of respect and awe, a fear based on love and trust. A fear that makes you want to please God, to serve and obey him. Jesus tells us to look at God as Father. He teaches us to pray, Our Father. In the Catechism, Martin Luther explains, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children. So that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. This is the difference between the two kinds of servants in our parable today. The first two fear their master with a filial fear, a fear filled with respect, awe, love, and trust. The third servant fears the master with a servile fear, a fear of punishment, which causes him to be paralyzed in terror and has no desire to serve his master. It's far too common for people to see God as a harsh, demanding taskmaster who is always threatening punishment and damnation. For these people, the law becomes a great burden, a list of impossible demands. God is viewed as a constant nag who's relentlessly telling you that you're messing up and you're never good enough. There are so many who see God as a vicious tyrant with a sword on your neck telling you, behave or else. God is too often perceived as a vindictive taskmaster. But this is wrong. Jesus invites everyone, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As a monk, Martin Luther was tormented by his sinfulness and fear of God's judgment and wrath. The Roman Church taught that you must confess every sin to the priest or it would not be forgiven. And so Luther would spend hours in the confessional booth trying to recall and confess every sin. He lived in constant terror of God's judgment. He would starve himself and beat himself with a whip to try to control his sinful impulses. Churches gain power by presenting God this way. It's easy to manipulate people who live in terror of God's judgment. Do what I say, or else God is going to get you. By reading the New Testament, Martin Luther discovered the sweet, sweet good news that Jesus' death and resurrection is full payment for your sins, and that in Christ, you are declared righteous because of what Jesus has done for you. You are indeed a poor, miserable sinner. You are indeed, by nature, sinful and unclean. But Jesus died for real sins and real sinners. Jesus died for you because he loves you. He loves you so much he drank the cup of God's wrath down to the bitter dregs so that you are free from the wrath of God. You are liberated from the terror of God's judgment. You live in fear, love, and trust in God above all things because he is your beloved creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. You live to serve and obey God by loving and serving your neighbor. You take the good gifts that God has given you and you generously use them to love and serve your neighbor in your various vocations in life. You take God's gifts of forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation, and you multiply these gifts in the world. Now, you will never do this perfectly this side of Judgment Day, because you are a natural-born sinner, and you're sorely tempted by the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. You're not perfect, but you are forgiven, and you live in filial fear of God. You live in love and trust of God. And on the day of the resurrection, Jesus will look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The tragic, wretched truth about life in this sinful world is that so many do not know the sweet, sweet good news of freedom in Jesus. So many are in bondage to sin and live in servile fear of God. They live in terror of God. They take God's good gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and they bury them because they live in terror of God. They're so afraid of doing something wrong, they don't do anything at all. And instead of fearing, loving, and trusting God, they fear and despise God. They fear and hate God because they see God as a demanding slave master who only wants to punish. They make up ways, they try to negotiate with God to try to earn his favor by their actions. They give up hope and despair, or they rationalize and minimize their sin to become self-righteous, or they just give up on God altogether. It's so heartbreaking that so many are missing the truth that God is a God of love who loves you so much he paid the price for your sins. In the parable of the talents, the master starts off by entrusting his servants with huge sums of money. The master obviously loves and trusts his servants. God obviously loves and trusts you. He entrusts you with forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. And knowing your sins are forgiven in Jesus, you fear, love, and trust God. You treasure his commandments. You use his gifts of love to serve others. You use his gifts to love and serve others. And you look forward to the day when the veil of this life is lifted and you are raised up to live in the presence of the Lamb of God forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
For Dean Langevin, a friend of Doug Rudy Urbeck, being treated for cancer. For Ruth Zellmeyer's daughter, Deanna Hughes, having liver problems. For Beth McMahon, who's facing a second retinal eye surgery. And for the Whitaker family, Carrie and Mason, at the birth of their new baby, Robert. Almighty God, everlasting Father, you are worthy of being praised for all your gifts and graces which you have given to us, your unworthy people. Hear us this day as we cry to you for mercy toward all the people as they have need. You have made us your people and preserved us through the ministry of your word and sacraments. Continue to pour out upon us your grace upon grace that we may be kept in faith and guarded in hope. Make your church throughout the world one in doctrine, confession, and life, and give to your church faithful pastors who will preach and teach your word with conviction. Deliver us from confusion and error by the power of your Holy Spirit, and raise up those who will continue to serve in faithfulness and humility. Deliver all enemies of your church, and convert their hearts to repentance and faith. Strengthen all Christians in their faith and in their vocation of service as your children, that we may be obedient to your word and receive the salvation of our souls. Deliver nations from oppression and ungodly rulers and governments. Bless all in authority within our own nation that righteousness may flourish and injustice end. Bless all those places where your people teach and learn that our children may honor you, walk in your commands, and show forth in their lives the fruits of the Spirit. Prevent all disaster and calamity. Deliver us from war and violence. Spare us from pestilence. Help us to know and rejoice in the good fruits of the earth. Bless all noble occupations. And help the arts to flourish, that our lives may be enriched by beauty. Help us to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of the earth that you supply for our common good. Receive with our song of praise and sacrifice and thanksgiving the tithes and offerings we bring, that through good use of the skills, talents, and time you have given us, you may be glorified in all we are and do. Give unity to your people that we may not be divided in doctrine or witness, and grant us grace that we may come to the Lord's table and receive there the body and blood of our Lord Jesus in sincere repentance and faith. Give to the sick healing, to the suffering relief, to the grieving hope, and to the dying peace. Here is especially on behalf of those who requested our prayers, Carol, Luke, Dean, Deanna, Beth, and the Whitaker family. Sustain us in the day of trial, deliver us from all our enemies of body and soul, and keep us steadfast in the day of trouble. Remembering that here we have no abiding city, but heaven is our home. Give us your aid that we may, by true faith in God and life, prepare for the coming of our Savior, doing the works you have called us to do, and accomplishing the purpose in our daily lives. Help us to multiply your mercy by loving our neighbor in need, and loving you with all our body, soul, and strength and will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you. Spirit, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.